Hello everyone and welcome back to episode 273 of your favourite Formula One show. Yes, Knowing Wheel returns this weekend to discuss the goings-on of the Abu Dhabi season finale, Jamie. 23 races down, one to go. It's all wrapped up now. I'm sure everybody has seen in the news. But Lando Norris is officially a Formula One world champion. Does seem quite mad to say. I think we can both take a little bit of solace in knowing that still there has been no F1 world champion younger than us yet.
Just about.
but it will happen at some point.
Well, you'd assume so, wouldn't you? This is the first world champion that I've met, I've had a photo with. That's quite fun. Although it was seven years ago? That's a bit terrifying.
I think it was before he was in F1, wasn't it?
It was before he was in F1. It was 2018, the end of 2018.
There you go, yeah. Seven years ago.
Yes, but maybe that's why he learned the skills of driving under pressure from a photo with me back in the day. But to be fair, he wasn't actually under that much pressure during the race, which we'll get onto later. But fair play to Lando Norris. He did drive absolutely well enough to win the championship. Obviously, having the best car helps, but I'm not going to be a salty Verstappen fan this episode. Do not worry.
No, he was already that salty Verstappen fan in our Twitter group chat
over
the course of yesterday afternoon.
Never.
So, that was quite funny. So this episode is actually going up on Matt212, my main YouTube channel as well. So, for some reason, I post about this occasionally from time to time. People ask me questions about Formula One quite a lot, and I cover a lot of them on this podcast with Jamie. So make sure you drop us a sub on Knowing Wheel. We'd love to try and work towards 2K at some point down the line as well. But I figured with a three-way championship decider, for the first time in literally years, I could actually post this one on the main channel, because I'm pretty certain we started posting on Knowing Wheel exclusively back in 2023. I had less than 20,000 subscribers, Jamie, the last time Max Verstappen wasn't Formula One world champion, which is kind of mental,
crazy.
I think.
Yeah, that is mad. And I had about 550 and I'm still on there. Not much has changed on my YouTube channel, I'm not going to lie. But yeah, it's been a long time. Obviously, four and a bit years, isn't it? Since
just under four.
Just before Abu Dhabi 21. What a race.
Yeah, because Abu Dhabi last year was held on the 13th, or not last year, sorry, 2021.
It was
the 13th.
It was a bit later,
or
wasn't
something.
It? Yeah.
Yeah. Should we get into the weekend? Yeah, let's get into the weekend then. Of course, FP1, always quite funny, isn't it? The fact that, you're kind of hyping up this three-way world championship. It's generally either, unless it's Monaco or season finale, you don't tend to watch much free practice. You turn on your TV for FP1, and one of the championship three isn't even in the car, because Oscar Piastri has had to sacrifice his seat for one of the juniors, obviously, to come in to get their minimum.
I wonder why,
up.
Because obviously the teams can choose when they play their young drivers. Why would... I'm assuming Oscar Piastri was part of that conversation. Why would you choose Abu Dhabi, knowing that you could be in a championship fight?
Because you want to do it as late in the year as you can, sensibly.
You do, but not in the season finale.
I'm pretty certain you have to pre-plan it before the start of the year. You have to announce it before the season starts.
The talk pre-season was absolutely McLaren are the fastest. It's going to be a two-way championship fight between those two. And
they were hoping that Norris would have it wrapped up by now.
But Piastri wouldn't have been hoping that. Piastri would have been, I need all the help I can get in Abu Dhabi, probably. I'm just a bit surprised, because there's definitely other races that Piastri's done practice when he didn't necessarily need to. Obviously not the last couple of races with sprint races and everything, but I think he gave his seat up in Mexico. Or was that Norris who gave award the drive in Mexico? I don't remember at this point. But yeah, surely, if I was asked for Piastri, you do everything you can to avoid losing an hour of practice. And they didn't share data. That was so mad. Did you see that?
Yeah. Not sharing data with each other.
That was... It happens to be the race where Piastri's not driving an FP1.
Yeah, and that seemed a little bit hilarious. But you're also kind of there going, they've got all the data. The car hasn't changed in ages. You've got pretty much all the data. Abu Dhabi's not a weird and wonderful circuit either. It's a pretty generic Tilkatron.
It is. So yeah, it's, but it's I still thought... The,
the worst weekend for it, but it's still quite funny.
I wonder if they'd have done that if the drivers were like level on points, or there was like three points between them.
I would say if Oscar Piastri had the advantage coming in, then absolutely they would have they would have changed data. I don't know how anybody can look at this and not say that McLaren have been quite happy to swing in Lando's favour when needed. But they've kept things all nice and neutral throughout the course of the year otherwise. But yeah, it did mean we had 9 juniors in FP1, which is always quite funny when you turn on the timing and go, who on earth is that?
What am I watching? Yeah.
especially when it's Kian Shields, who hasn't scored a point in F2 all year.
No, his previous two single-seater campaigns have been 24th in F2 and 30th in F3. And now he's debuting in F1. How on earth?
To be fair to him, though, didn't do that badly in FP1. I think he was 2 seconds off fastest, which in your first ever go
Did he replace Alonso?
No, he was 2 seconds off the top of the pile.
How far? I want to know how far off his teammate he was.
I think he was only a few tenths off Stroll.
I mean,
let me have a look.
The which is, weakest
I reckon
benchmark
I could be a few tenths. I reckon I could be a few tenths off Stroll. Let's have a look. So, Kian Shields, 1.947 off fastest. Was there not another Aston? Oh, Jack Crawford, sorry, was in the other one.
Oh, of course.
So he was half a second slower than Crawford then.
Right, so Stroll easily could have been a lot faster, to be fair.
Crawford could be faster.
Crawford's good. But...
and I don't even like Crawford that much. But yeah, so 9 rookies in FP1, which was always quite entertaining. And the only other real thing that happened was Hamilton. I think he wanted to try and get his year done a bit early, so just tried to have a big crash in FP3. I saw some people claiming things on the car broke, but they were even more biased Hamilton fans than I have.
That was Damon Hill.
I was going to say, I couldn't see anything that looked untoward. Well, it was a bit too aggressive on the way.
I think the car bottomed out, which, you know.
Oh, yeah, but that's going to happen when you take that much curb.
Nothing on the car broke. It was just a skill issue. And Lewis Hamilton's had a fair amount of those this year, to be honest. So
bring on 2026. once again, though, it looked like the McLarens and Max looked to be pretty clear of everybody else. And now normally you'd be thinking, oh, who's going to be out on top? But of course, with Lando only need to be finishing P3. We kind of got the sense he was going to try and do his best Alain Prost and just do the bare minimum to get what he needed out of it. Moving on, though, into qualifying, Jamie. Franco Colapinto decided he just didn't want to get clean laps in. I'm pretty certain he invalidated at least 2 laps at Turn 1, which is rather impressive. So he would go out. Once again, obviously, Hamilton, huge rebuild on the car, would go out in P16. 1/8000th of a second away from making FP2. Q2, even. Which, to be fair, all of qualifying was a pretty tight affair, wasn't it, in the end?
Yeah, it's
Hamilton,
crazy tight.
Albon, Hulkenberg, Gasly, Colapinto all out in Q1. Behrman, Sainz, Lawson, Antonelli, Stroll all out in Q2. And Stroll in 15th was less than 3.5 tenths off, I believe it was Russell, who went fastest come the end of Q2.
Yeah. And Sonoda...
we're going to miss this next year when there's a 3-second gap.
Yeah, 3.5 tenths will be the gap between P2 and P3 when the McLarens are just OP. Or the Mercedes.
It won't be McLaren next year. Yeah, exactly.
Yuki Tsunoda, by the way, got through Q1 by 8 thousandths. And he got through Q2 by 7 thousandths.
Exactly.
It was like scripted for him to get into the top 10 so that he could screw Lando in the race. And then he went and bottled it. But we'll get onto that later.
Well, we will get onto that in just a minute. Max Verstappen, though, looked pretty on rails. I always think it's kind of fitting, and again, a bit of a spoiler as we head into the race, when, you know, the championship protagonists end up on the podium in the season finale. You always think, especially in a 3-way title finale, if it had been like Max, Lando, and then Oscar had finished like 6th or something like that, it would have been a bit bad.
It would have been funnier if Lando was. I mean, obviously he wouldn't have won the championship, but can you imagine Russell won and it was Verstappen, Piastri, and Norris off the podium? So Norris is still the champion and the two on the podium just chilling. And where's Sonny Hayes? I thought he won this race.
Yeah, I'd never seen the movie, so I don't know still.
Well.
Max, but again, he looked absolutely locked in, didn't he? The Red Bull has come a long way towards the end of the year, but I think it's always kind of almost symbolic, isn't it, when the driver that has kind of absolutely dominated this era does still go out on top, isn't it?
And I struggle to think,
laps.
Based on practice, I thought the McLaren was the fastest, and it probably was still. I just think Norris especially was driving within himself. Because of
the need. I think that Red Bull has come a long way towards
the end
of the year.
It has, but it's still not the fastest car.
I think like, over a few weekends, right towards the end, it's.
I think Monza and Kota.
Right there.
And that's been it.
Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, Max was set 2 laps good enough, though, to go fastest, so he would line up on pole. Lando
without,
would claim
without
P2.
Without slipstream, by the way. And everyone claiming he's got
on the
17
second run,
teammates.
On the second run, he did.
He didn't
get a slipstream. Yeah. First run, he did. Second run, he didn't.
A tiny little one, and he went quicker on the second run anyway, so who cares?
Exactly. Norris would end up P2, though, ahead of Piastri. Russell, again, top four in the championship, top four. I guess top five, actually, because Leclerc's still fifth. Alonso just ahead of Bortoleto, Ocon, Hadjar, and Tsunoda. Which actually means, Jamie, Hadjar, out of all the rookies, had the most Q3 appearances all year. He was only one off the record for Q3 appearances by a rookie, which is held by...
Lewis Hamilton, I presume.
Who got 17 out of 17 back in 2007.
Yeah, in the fastest car.
Still got to deliver as a rookie.
True,
which
true.
Is still impressive to deliver every single weekend.
And Hadjar's done a very good job. But...
Hadjar has done a very good job, hasn't he? Just all, well, not always.
So he's on
16 races, 16 Q3 appearances
out of 24. That's actually crazy. Fair play, Isaac.
That
Hadjar.
Is very good going. Very good going. We move on though into Grand Prix Sunday, Jamie. There's obviously a huge amount of hype, a huge amount of pomp, and everything like that. But let's be fair, it's Abu Dhabi. We were given, again, we talk about kind of symbolic, you know, Max on pole, everything like that, top three of the championship. We were given a proper ground effect era race, weren't we?
Well, yeah, at the start, obviously, I thought Max was going to crowd Lando as far into the wall as he could. He tried, but unfortunately, Lando got not a good enough start, so he was actually fully behind Max anyway. So it didn't really pay off. Lando held second, Oscar third through turn one. George Russell lost a bunch of places. I think Fernando Alonso jumped up.
Both managed to bog down and wheel spin, which was staggeringly impressive.
Yeah, so just a terrible start all round, and his race never really got going, to be honest, George Russell. The guy who really needed to be involved for any Verstappen fans.
not that George would have done anything to help Max anyway. If he had to choose, he was going to help Lando.
But I think if he found himself in second, he would have driven normally. He wouldn't have let anyone through.
He would have given it up towards the end. He would have given it up. To be fair, you say that, Oscar would have let Lando by, so it's kind of irrelevant.
We had our two cars ahead of Norris, really, that weren't a McLaren. So... Yeah, I as I said pre-weekend, it's a long shot. And here we are. But never mind. Piastri, sick move on Norris at the turn 11 round the outside. I say it was a great move, but also Norris absolutely was not crashing there. So he just basically lifted off as much as possible.
Yeah, just basically let Oscar... Well, I think that the plan was obviously because they started Oscar on harder tyres, didn't they? Yeah. I think the plan was either, obviously, if Lando gets a good start, great, you can try and go with Max. If not, let Oscar try and burn up his tyres, applying pressure to Max if needed. Because, again, Lando only needs to finish P3.
I don't think that wasn't a swap, that was an overtake.
It was an overtake, 11. But it was also, there's, you know, this has been discussed. But you don't need to battle each other.
Yeah, I think Team Lando was like, who cares if you lose to Max and Oscar, realistically.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
So it was a bit of a waving him through, but it wasn't orchestrated like a papaya rules message or anything like that.
No, I mean, it was quite funny actually to see him starting on different tyres, I think, for pretty much the first time all year.
What if the data wasn't shared? I wonder if the strategists chatted with each other. I'm sure they did, realistically. But yeah, it was a, you know, Piastri had to try something. And basically, he was hoping for a late safety car, wasn't he? In the period of time where he was leading.
Second half of the race,
But there wasn't a single bit of contact all day, which is mental. That can't happen very often,
There was.
Who made contact?
Gasly and Hulk almost took each other out lap one.
Oh, I didn't, actually didn't
see
that. No, I haven't seen the onboard.
The onboard is mad. Hulkenberg gets a run on him. Obviously, Gasly is still in front, so tries to dictate the line. And they almost wreck out at about 160 miles an hour. They did. They made huge contact.
Wow. I need to see this.
It was a massive tie. Honestly, if you search online, like Gasly and Hulkenberg, it will show up pretty
quickly.
They
were just doing
it was big
episode
contact.
Episode 2 of
but exactly. They
one.
Basically tried. They clearly unsettled beef from last weekend. Because Gasly just tries to swing at him and Hulk just holds his line. And then Gasly has to kind of bail out because they have a massive tyre rub.
Fair enough.
Quite impressive.
Didn't see that.
Watch the onboard. He's honestly, first time I watched it, it was like, whoa! It was quite impressive. But yeah, I mean, early on, though, like we said, Lando gave up the spot to Oscar fairly without any real fight at all. It was a bit of nerves, though, wasn't there? Because for the first time since, I would argue, Austria, Ferrari and Charles Leclerc kind of actually showed up. They actually had pretty good pace in Abu Dhabi.
They did.
So Leclerc was a decent threat throughout a lot of the Grand Prix. It was a bit of a thorn in Lando Norris's side.
Again, I feel like the target for Norris was, like, when you've got Piastri and Max ahead of you, all you need to do is finish third. So, yeah. Therefore,
or fourth,
all you need...
even, because then you know Oscar will let you by.
Oh, true, yeah. But all you therefore need to do is beat Charles Leclerc, which means you can, because you've got a faster car. Realistically, I don't think Norris was pushing that hard at all.
He was trying to do the bare minimum to stay
exactly,
ahead of him, wasn't he?
Exactly.
And it was a bit nip and tuck a couple of times.
Yeah, so Leclerc got DRS, I think, once or twice, didn't he, on the first stint?
He got alongside him once on the outside.
He did. All that Norris had to do was basically match Leclerc's strategy and stay ahead of him, because.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how slow you finish third, as long as you finish third. So,
exactly.
You know, it was probably the easiest task of his whole championship season, beating a Ferrari
exactly,
in a 1-1.
Yeah.
But there you go.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, Holt, yeah, would pit first, obviously try and get an undercut. Hamilton would follow him in. And it would work quite well for them, actually, early on. Because, once again, there seemed to be a bit of a Fernando Alonso train a bit further down the order. Norris would be the first of our championship protagonists, though, to pit on lap 17. It would be a pretty clean stop for him, but they would come out in quite a bit of traffic. Again, I get that obviously they were trying to cover off Leclerc, but it seemed a bit of a risk, didn't it?
Because
he came out behind about four cars. Now, he got a good move on Antonelli down at the hairpin, Max Verstappen style. Even Carlos Sainz then would basically let him by, because they are good mates.
Yeah.
But of course, then you've got Lance Stroll and Liam Lawson in front of you. That's scary anyway, never mind the fact Lawson was definitely told, try and do a little bit to hold him up.
Yes, and obviously, this actually was a very good double overtake. From Lando Norris down the inside of turn 9, that the chicane at the end of the
straight. Yeah, I think it's turn 9, isn't it? Yeah.
So, yeah, fair play. And getting throughout traffic, he was so clinical, because that was where, like, the jeopardy was, really. Obviously, you got a bit more jeopardy when he got up the road to Yuki Tsunoda. But I think it made a lot of sense what McLaren did, because, as I said, all they had to do was beat Charles Leclerc. And if Leclerc's going to pit, we're going to pit. If Leclerc's going to pit again, we're going to pit again. You know, all of these midfield cars did have
and
to make a pit stop.
Helped massively by the fact that Mercedes, again,
had
were
no
a
pace.
Bit off the pace, weren't they? Yeah, George Russell had a very lonely drive to fifth.
At this point in the race, I think it was Ocon was third at this point in the first stint, and he was 19 seconds behind Piastri. So realistically, even if Norris and Leclerc got stuck behind all his midfield, you weren't going to get a 2010 situation, because there was no cars between Piastri and Ocon, and Ocon was the cork in the bottle. If, for instance, like George Russell, Kimi Antonelli were ahead of Ocon, then there was a chance they could overcut if Norris got stuck in traffic. But there was very little risk of following Leclerc's strategy, because there was no one else to bother about, because no one else had any pace.
And Abu Dhabi's a lot easier to overtake at now.
It is.
It's
and
actually
DRS.
Possible.
That was the final race without DRS.
Well, white, yeah, exactly. Exactly. I mean, yeah, obviously, Lando would, like we said, good double overtake on Stroll and Lawson. Lawson would again try and fight him back, of course, you know, Red Bull. But obviously, it would have to be Yuki Tsunoda. I'm sure he watched Sergio Perez on the replays from 2021. You know, save your career. Not quite save your seat, that's already gone. But try and go out of Red Bull on a high. Can he be the new Perez? No.
He illegally
shoves him off, lose the spot, couldn't even try to dive bomb him again, and got a penalty. Yeah. All in the space of one straight. It was rather
impressive.
And
am I right in thinking, I wasn't, like, this part of the race, I was distracted. So I wasn't paying loads of attention.
Tell me more.
I was, this is a fun story, I was actually playing my trumpet in church yesterday. So I was watching the race while rehearsing with the band.
Nice.
On the little side, like, I had my phone on the music stand.
Nice.
So I wasn't, I paid attention to the beginning and obviously kept an eye on it the whole time, but I missed. Did Tsunoda have the opportunity to do anything in the final sector the lap before?
Not, Lando wasn't close enough.
But he could have lifted.
He could have lifted out, yeah. But I'm pretty sure, I think Red Bull were quietly told, we're having no funny business like 21. You can't
possibly
try and turn it into a bit of a mockery.
But it would have been very amusing. But yeah, Tsunoda completely messed up this attempt, realistically, because Yeah, I mean, when I first saw it, I was like, I mean, Norris has driven off the track there and kept the position. But when you look at it back, he only drove off because Tsunoda sideswiped him. So...
yeah, I mean, Lando, to be fair, Yuki had the... Because obviously Yuki went defensive, went back to the racing line, went defensive again. Lando obviously then went to the inside.
And there was a gap.
It was fairly... there was a bit of a gap. It was fairly obvious that Yuki was covering it off again. But also, of course, Red Bull and Yuki had no leg to stand on because he'd already illegally moved. At that point, unless
times.
Norris wiped him out on burbles or something like that, which obviously was never going to happen, he had no leg to stand on, didn't he? You've already weaved illegally. They do kind of have this... Occasionally, they've kind of got this thing of, you know, two wrongs can make a right in Formula 1. But even in this case, they didn't even allow that to happen. And people moaning that Lando should have got a five-second penalty for an illegal overtake, it wouldn't have made a difference come the checkered flag.
No, it wouldn't have. Although he would have had to take it at the pit stop, and maybe that would have put him behind Leclerc.
He wouldn't have to. You don't have to.
Do you not?
There's no rule stating you have to take... Because all you could say is, oh yeah, we'll take it in the pit stop, immediately change the tyres and go, oops, we forgot. And we'll take it again at our next stop, won't we?
No, but then you would get a penalty for really not serving your penalty correctly.
I feel like you have to. I don't know if you do, yeah. That's a good point.
I feel like
actually.
You do have to.
Sure.
In Codemasters F1 game, you have to. And obviously that's the most accurate representation.
Exactly.
You have.
You haven't played a Cody's F1 game in quite a while.
I haven't.
Tell you what. Tell
but
you
yeah,
what, yes.
I think had Tsunoda simply driven in a straight line on the left-hand side of the track, on the white line, and Norris went off and overtook him.
Oh, absolutely. That would have been a penalty.
That would have been a penalty for Norris because it's overtaking off the track. But the fact that Tsunoda left a little gap, Norris went in the gap on track, and then Tsunoda basically just tried to sideswipe him at 150 odd miles an hour. Not the cleverest move from Yuki Tsunoda, and obviously it was never going to be a Norris penalty. I am a little bit surprised they didn't just play it safe and tell Norris to let him through to avoid any kind of jeopardy that might come the way.
No,
but then I guess
you're
giving him the chance to take you out again.
Exactly, yeah. You just don't... Yeah, I think had Yuki not weaved three times, they might have said that. But their argument was always going to be, well, hang on a minute, he's weaved illegally. We would have never been put in that scenario if he'd made the defensive move once.
Exactly. But then if you turn this into a corner situation, which I know it isn't...
Yeah, exactly. If you turn it into something completely different, then it's different.
But if a car is defending the inside line on a corner and shoves you off and you're behind him, then the FIA say, give the place back. Which is stupid because the rules are dumb, but we've gone over that many times. So
we have.
Yeah. But did you see somebody posted a meme on x.com and said...
Just call it Twitter, please.
It was the meme of Thanos saying, perhaps I treated you too harshly, and it was Sergio
Perez. Oh, yeah,
Perez.
Yeah.
And then Sergio Perez quote tweeted it with perhaps, with a
perhaps.
Laughing emoji.
Yeah. Brilliant.
That was a strong... Yeah. I'm sorry, that's Sergio. Brilliant. I treated you way too harshly.
I always liked Sergio before he went to Red Bull. It was always, you were a Hulk fan, I was a Sergio Perez
exactly.
fan. In like the battle of the midfield. And Perez did always come out on top.
Well, Hulkenberg's
which was
still there, so...
But Perez is back next year.
Yeah, in the slowest car, so... Audi OP.
It might not be slow. We saw its front wing yesterday. That accidentally got leaked. That was quite
did
funny. I don't know if it was accidental or whether they've tried to bait and switch everybody. But they sewed up some pictures of the factory and forgot to blur out a front wing.
That's
which
funny.
Is, yeah, quite interesting.
Yeah, Alpine will be copying that now.
Exactly. Well, to be honest, of course, it's quite fascinating as well, because that was probably the most entertaining thing that happened throughout the second half of the Grand Prix. Because
yeah, definitely.
This was the problem as well, because we were talking about this pre-show, because I said, obviously, even in our notes I've got, it's literally a typical ground effect race. Jamie said it was worse than a typical ground effect race. It arguably actually wasn't, because there was still a lot of overtaking going on. The problem was, of course, and understandably... You know, they want to focus on the championship picture. They want to focus on the big three in case anything happens. But there was still quite a lot going on further down the order. We just saw none of it.
Yeah. Yeah. And obviously, they're going to focus on the top three drivers. That's fully understandable.
But when
yeah.
they're 20 seconds apart...
Exactly.
There's
and
nothing
what I
to
will
focus
say,
on.
I, in hindsight, I'm a little bit surprised there weren't more games, to be honest, between the top three drivers. Specifically Red Bull, because I think... Obviously, Max overtakes Oscar before Oscar's even pit once. So, Norris pit the lap before Oscar pit for his second time to cover Leclerc. And then Oscar pit comes out just ahead of Lando, like 4 or 5 seconds ahead of Lando. the next lap, I know Max was on like 10 lap old tyres or something like that, maybe 15, but they could have pit Verstappen the following lap and he would have still come out in the lead and he would have been close enough to the McLarens to make their life a misery. I don't know why they didn't do that, because
I think they were honestly worried about you end up in a scenario where you have a slow stop, Oscar jumps you,
and then it's quite hard to pass him again. Yeah,
exactly. Possibly. It's near impossible to pass him, and then if, say, for example, Lando has a mechanical failure right at the end of the race or something, then suddenly Oscar out of nowhere becomes champion.
Yeah, then idiots. Yeah, I guess potentially, but yeah, I back Red Bull to drop a 2.1 under pressure.
Yeah, I think most people do, but I think they were just kind of there going, "We'll win this race.
McLaren
will either implode or they won't." You know, there's only kind of so much we can do.
But again, because they were so split up, obviously. Lando was never going to pass Oscar. He doesn't need to. He's four or 5 seconds back, and Max was 20 seconds down the road. So it's like, well, he's not going to lift off 20 seconds just to annoy them, is he? Like,
no.
Yeah, so it's a bit of a shame. There wasn't tons of jeopardy, which I was hoping for, because I was very aware that Abu Dhabi is not a particularly great circuit, and most of the drama in these kinds of races comes from people messing about and people trying to play games.
Manufacturing like stuff, isn't it, basically?
Like in 16 or like in 21, for instance.
Yeah.
Because Loris, to be honest, wasn't under a huge amount of pressure. And I know, I'm sure he was on the inside of the car, but external factors really didn't go against him that much. In terms of Leclerc was never close enough to be a massive threat in the second half of the race.
No.
And he wasn't getting gamed with Verstappen. So, yeah.
No, but he did.
He kept it calm. He didn't spin or anything.
Yeah, on the day, he did absolutely what he needed to. And, of course, by the end of lap 58, Max Verstappen would take the Grand Prix victory. Which, again, like I said, I think is fitting that he gets to win the last ground effect race, because, of course, it has easily been his era.
And did you know that I think for the last 10 years, the winner of the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix has gone on to win the championship next year?
They have, yeah. It's only the last 5 or 6, I believe. Because I'm pretty certain Bottas won it 1 year, didn't he?
He won it in 17, like. Didn't win the championship, obviously. So yeah, I guess the last 6 Abu Dhabi Grand Prix.
Yeah, there you
go. So Max
there
champion, 26, Max sorry, lock it in.
27, yeah, I was going to say. Yeah, but obviously, yeah, Max would obviously take the victory. Oscar would finish in P2, Lando P3. It did actually mean, though, still, Jamie, I thought this was going to be the fact that you were going to share, that through the V6 turbo hybrid era, Nico Rosberg is still third on the wins list.
Yeah, mental. And he raced 3 years of it out of, well, 11?
12 even. 12 years, yeah. 12 seasons worth, yeah. Which is kind of mad still.
My goat.
In itself. but yeah, obviously, yeah. Lando Norris, though, as we said at the start, you know, world champion, did the job on the day. You know, I think you can make the, you know, like we said, going into the weekend, you can make the argument that all three of them, you can look back at flashpoints over the course of the year and kind of go, oh, well, if this hadn't happened, they would have been world champion. But you could say that, like, all of them.
Apart from Charles Leclerc. Very...
Yeah, I mean, the top three, of course.
Yeah, Charles no, Leclerc and people are making
to, you know,
a big
oh,
deal.
If he'd signed with the Mercedes Junior program 10 years ago, then maybe he could have been champion.
People are
Lando
making
Norris, though, as well, mad stat, sorry, first driver to race in F2 to become Formula One champion.
Yeah. Yeah, F2's been around a while now.
Almost 10 years.
You'd have thought that would happen by now, but Verstappen skipped it. Obviously, Hamilton never did it. No, he did, but it was GP2 back then, wasn't it, in 2006. So
yes, yeah.
Yeah, no F2 world champion until now. And then next year, Arvid Lindblad gets to win the championship.
That, what, 18 or 19, I suppose, by then. Not going to happen.
Yeah, what I was going to say, people are making a massive deal about Verstappen's lost points that cost him the championship for whatever reason. Norris lost 36 between Zandvoort and Vegas and 7 more at COTA Sprint, which was Piastri's fault.
It was not Piastri's fault, but still.
It's Alonso's fault. I won't have any Hulkenberg slander on this podcast. Yeah, Norris drove better than Piastri, and the McLaren was quite comfortably the fastest car over the course of the season. He definitely deserves a championship. Shut up about Spain, because 9 points here doesn't make a difference.
You could still, like I said, make the argument for all three of them.
You could.
That they could have been world champions.
And I'm sure we'll come to do a driver ranking at some point.
I'm sure we were. At the end of the day as well, you've got to remember the fact that, you know, there was a small part of me that was like, the only reason I'd want to see McLaren lose this is just so they know that this is not how you can go about in Formula One with your teddy bear.
And they were lucky that they had everyone else at an arm's length for a lot of the season, especially the European level.
A bit like Max last year, though, isn't it?
But
he wasn't dominant enough car early on, and then.
But even I mean, the Red Bull was a lot less dominant than the McLaren was for less like the Red Bull in 24 was the Red Bull in 24 was dominant for six races, and one of them Max had a DNF mechanical anyway. So realistically, it's five races. This McLaren was the best up until Monza, which is round 16. And it was quite comfortably the best in all of those races.
You can stop crying whenever you like, bro.
I'm not crying. Leave
no,
me
I think, oh, I think he is. He's getting high pitched. He's getting squeaky. Everything.
I think Max has done himself a lot of favours this year because he's driven excellently and been very gracious.
You're absolutely right. I think, again, and like we said before, there's always got to be, you know, for all of the greats, those years where you go, oh, you look back at the record book and go, oh, I could have won that championship.
Yeah.
And you're there going... Actually, on the other hand, he should never have been in the fight. But that's
no, exactly.
Why he's considered one of... These are the years, you know, for a Hamilton, a Schumacher, a Verstappen, where you're reminded as to just how good they are.
Yeah.
That when they shouldn't have a chance at a fight, they still end up... You know, there's still that hypothetical at the end of the year of if this had gone differently, they could have won.
This is Schumacher's 97, isn't it, basically?
This is Schumacher's 97. This is Hamilton's 07 or 10 or... Even you could argue 12.
12, probably the most likely one, I think, yeah.
Yeah, just so much bad reliability.
And when we come to do the driver ranking, I'm sure there'll be no disagreements at all that Verstappen was the best driver this year.
I would honestly... But this is going to be what I would say as well. I think, honestly, George Russell, underrated year.
It's easy to look underrated with a rookie teammate and a car that's not really that close to the championship because he has no pressure at all to do anything.
But my point more actually was the fact that had he not had that engine issue in Monaco, he would have been the only driver to complete every lap this year and have scored points every single race.
Yeah.
Which just the sheer consistency alone, I think, deserves
when didn't
some
Max
credit.
Score?
He didn't score in Austria.
Oh yeah, of course. Is that I think that's the only one, and he got taken out on lap one, so you can't really criticize that very much.
No, I'm not saying I criticize that. I'm not immediately saying George Russell was better than Max Verstappen this year.
My point is George
had a very underrated year.
He did.
Of just consistency.
He did. But we'll save that for the ranking podcast because
we will.
Yeah. What we will do is the quiz because
okay.
Your driver, Lewis Hamilton.
Yes.
Didn't score a podium all year.
Yes, I know. I can't believe it.
Just to remind you, drivers who did get a podium.
Yep.
Isaac Hadjar.
Yep.
Nico Hülkenberg.
Carlos Sainz twice. Nico Hülkenberg.
Sainz twice. Leclerc six times, his teammate. But that's not the quiz. I just wanted to remind you of that.
I'd be worried if it was. You just give me the answers.
Exactly. Exactly. Another driver who didn't get a podium this year, Fernando Alonso, didn't get a podium
yes.
either. That's the first time since 2002.
I was going to say, yeah.
That neither Alonso nor Hamilton have stood on a podium in Formula One over the course of a year.
Yep.
There were seven drivers who scored a podium in the 2002 Formula One season. You've got to name them, but if you get one wrong, it's done.
Okay. Well, I know Schumacher got a podium in every single race because people say 2004 was his best year, but it was actually really 2002.
Yeah, I agree.
That F2002 is underrated. Barrichello obviously would have got podiums.
Mm-hmm.
In the process, you know, not a chance someone gets podium all year and their teammate doesn't get a single one.
Well, Max Verstappen very nearly did.
He didn't get a podium in every single race.
No, true.
Trying to think, obviously, the other big teams in those years, because obviously this was, again, a Ferrari complete domination year. I would assume Juan Pablo Montoya would have got podiums.
Yes, he did.
At some point over the year. I think this was this the year or was that 2001 where Ralph and Michael became the first brother combo to get a 1-2? Or did that, I think that might have been in 2001, but I would assume Ralph got a podium in 2002.
Is that an answer?
No, not if it's wrong. I'm going to say Coulthard would have got a podium.
Yes, he did. Three more.
Yeah. Hakkinen? Was still at McLaren that year, I believe. Yeah, because it was 03, was Kimi's first year at McLaren. So I'm going to say Hakkinen got a podium.
Incorrect.
Really?
Hakkinen wasn't at McLaren in 02, I don't think.
Was he not? Did Kimi gone there in 02?
Hakkinen wasn't on the grid in 2002.
Who was at McLaren then?
Kimi.
Was it already Kimi?
Yeah.
I thought he went there in 03.
It was Kimi and Coulthard, I think, at McLaren.
Was it? Oh, I thought Kimi went in. Yeah, because they're not a chance. He would have won his championship in the first year of McLaren. That's annoying. Well, so who else would it have been then? So was Ralf Schumacher on there?
He was.
Yeah, okay.
You didn't say Raikkonen, did you? Have I ticked off the wrong guy?
No, I never, because I said Hakkinen instead.
Yeah, so Raikkonen was on there, Ralf Schumacher, and then Ireland's GOAT, Eddie Irvine.
Eddie Irvine, yep. Because he got one at Monza, I believe.
He got one at Monza, correct. And there are only seven drivers. How lucky we are that, 11 drivers got a podium this season?
This is the thing that I think, we slag off the races in the ground effect era. People are going to forget next year is going to be so badly strung out.
It's going to take
at least 3 years for kind of the sport to get as close as it is at the moment again.
Back in 2018, which I know was the second year of reg cycle, but the cars could pass a little bit more.
Not
if
really.
If any of those top six, so the, back then it was Mercedes, Ferrari and Red Bulls were the top three teams.
Would normally have second clear of everybody else.
If any of those got a bad start or had an incident and lost their front wing on lap one, you could guarantee the lowest they would be was sixth at the end of the race.
Pretty much.
That sort of thing just doesn't happen anymore because the field is so close that if you screw up lap one, you're lucky to get back in the points. Which is a good thing because mistakes are punished. But next year they won't be because we'll have Mercedes, McLaren, Red Bull are going to be streets clear of everyone else.
There's not a chance Red Bull are going to build a good engine first time round.
Laurent Mekki's masterclass. Max is on a 9 in a row podium streak. I just want to shout out
Max Verstappen.
It's all going to
come crashing down in Australia.
Max
qualifies 14th.
His run from the summer break from Zandvoort has been insane. And because it's been 9 races, he's had 6 wins, 2 seconds, and a
crazy
third.
What he can do when the best car, isn't it? Absolutely.
He hasn't.
Mad.
He had the best car 2 out of those 9 races. I'm not having that. There you go. What did you get on your quiz? 4 out of 7?
4 out of 7, that's not bad going. It's better than you did last time.
It is.
Trying to get your champions. Race rating, Jamie.
No, it was bad, wasn't it?
It was a proper ground effect race, wasn't it? I'm going to give it a 5.
Okay.
Again, you were a bit lucky you had the championship backdrop. It was better than Qatar.
It wasn't much better than Qatar.
It was there was a lot more overtakes than Qatar. I'm pretty certain you gave Qatar a 4.5 last week.
I did. I'll give it a 5 then.
Yeah, a solid 5 all round. Driver of the day?
Max Verstappen. Or Nico Hülkenberg's actually very good. And Lewis Hamilton
got
was,
big
to be fair.
Hamilton got big. Do you see Hamilton's move on Sainz?
No, I've not
down
seen
down into the triple
right-hander. Outside the top three.
His move down the inside of Sainz down the triple right-hander was brilliant as well.
I tried that on you in F1 once, and we crashed.
I believe, you just never stopped, did you, in that scenario?
Yeah, I think
that was
here
enough 10 years ago now, and you still remember it, which is slightly worrying.
Yeah, it's the only time we ever crashed, as far as I know.
Yeah, you crashing into me. Seems about right. I don't really want to do the predictions recap, Jamie. We did have double points.
We had double points. We did. Before the race, obviously, is it a tweet on the line? I need to actually use that.
I don't think we do anything anymore, because obviously neither of us ever tweet, so we just
know
it looks ridiculous.
Yeah, true. Okay. It's just for pride then, because Matt's lost.
I'm still 3-2 up though.
I was on 76 and you were on 62. So there were 16 points to play for.
14. Oh, sorry, 16 available. Yeah, 14 gap. Yeah. Because we did double points for the finale.
We did. So you've got to get everything right.
Yeah, and you've got to get
have
nothing
a chance.
Right.
So you said Oscar Piastri on pole position.
Damn it!
And it's over.
And it's gone.
You said Piastri would win.
So that's 2 points.
Second.
For 2 points.
And Norris third. So he actually did quite
4
well.
4 points.
So 8.
No, I got the podium. Bang
8
on.
Out
just
of 16
in the wrong order.
For Matt.
8 out of 16.
I said Verstappen would be on pole. Correct.
4 points.
Verstappen would win. Correct.
4 points.
Russell second, Antonelli third. So I went big on Mercedes out of hopium. Yeah. Didn't come off.
No, it didn't.
But we
so
scored
go,
8
then.
Apiece.
We did, so that basically equals our best ever scores, because I'm pretty certain we've had a couple of perfect weekends, but never a perfect sprint.
No, so it finished 84-70 to me.
Okay.
Which,
fair
how many, is that? What's that average of a race? I thought it was quite good. 3.5. And obviously, if you take 4 off, because we didn't do double points, for instance.
Yeah. So you're looking at just over 3 a weekend. Yeah.
That's not bad. Actually,
when there's an average
bad,
of just over 8.3 per weekend, is it because obviously you've got 6 sprints where there's 10 and the rest are 8.
Yeah,
I'll take that. That's, I can't remember what we've got in previous years. It would be interesting to go back and have a look. Because 2024, I imagine, was terrible because it was much more wide open.
I think 23 was probably the easiest because just predicting Verstappen pole, Verstappen win every race.
You're just predicting Max basically most weekends. Yeah, but I did win that year.
You did.
What we're actually learning is I can only win the predictions when Max doesn't win a championship or doesn't win it fairly. otherwise, yeah, I back Max too much, it would appear.
possibly.
Oh, yes. Man. I can't believe it. I think as well, Jamie, because of this episode, we're going to break our record for most episodes in a year. And we've still got a few more to go.
Yes.
On the run-up to Christmas. So, as always...
Until the cars start getting revealed.
Exactly. Yeah, we're gonna do some predictions. We're gonna rank the rookies as well. I want to say we're gonna do a few random fun little bits and pieces.
Well, we'll look back at our predictions because I'm actually looking forward to that. I don't know if you remember what you said, but I do remember what I said.
I can't remember exactly what I said come the end of the year, but that will be fun to have a look back through. Jamie, anything else to add from you, sir?
No, just congratulations, Lando Norris, once again.
Yeah, fair play. New world champion, the 11th Briton to become Formula One champion as well. He's kind of mad. But yeah, thank you everybody so much for watching as always. Like I said, we won't be going anywhere over the winter break. I'm sure we'll still be probably getting about an episode out a week. I'm sure Jamie has got tons of plans on because he always does. I will just be at home as normal. So yeah, we will be back. I assume next week we'll either go through and react to our rankings or something like that. But make sure you're there.